Welcome to Agents of Providence. I'm Doyle Burbank Williams. It's my privilege to be the pastor for the people of New Visions United Methodist in Lincoln, Nebraska. These thoughts are intended to engage a little conversation about how we live out our faith in the real world, about loving this world, finding how God and Christ show up. And we're doing that in the midst of a series about dreaming, a pause to dream that encourages us to take just a little bit of time out of our usual busyness in order to let the dreams happen, what dreams may come, and discovering what God and the Spirit are showing to us in those moments of dreaming. So stay tuned, and we're going to hear one of the probably the most famous stories of a dream coming out of the Hebrew Testament, Jacob's dream. So stay tuned. This is Genesis 28, 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there. And when the sun had set, he took one of the stones at that place, put it near his head. Then he lay down there. He dreamed and saw a raised staircase, its foundation on the earth and its top touching the sky. And God's messengers were ascending and descending on it. Suddenly, God was standing on it and saying, I am the God of your ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, and the God of Isaac and Rebekah. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will become like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, east, north, and south, and every family of earth will be blessed because of you and your descendants. I'm with you now. I will protect you everywhere you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done everything I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought to himself, God is definitely in this place, but I didn't know it. He was terrified and thought, this sacred place is awesome. It's none other than God's house and the entrance to heaven. After Jacob got up early in the morning, he took the stone that he'd put near his head, set it up as a sacred pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He named that sacred place Bethel, though Luz was the place's original name. Jacob made a solemn promise. If God is with me and protects me on this trip I'm taking and gives me bread to eat and clothes to wear and I return safely to my father and mother's household, then God will be my God. This stone that I've set up as a sacred pillar will be God's house. And of everything you give me, I will give back a tenth to you. Have you ever met someone new and just had that instant connection? I met Charles when I participated in the 2-year Academy for Spiritual Formation. He and I did not look like two people who had a connection. He was as traditional looking a pastor as I was unconventional. He lived in a major city and I was at that time from a small town. But we clicked. We had a similar sense of humor. We saw the world in much the same way. We laughed and talked and simply enjoyed each other's company like we had been lifelong friends, even though we had just met. This kind of connection doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's powerful and unforgettable. Truth be told, Many people do not have that kind of connection with God. It may be the hallmark of our generation that so many feel no connection to God at all. I suspect that part of this is because the church in general has been perceived as disingenuous, self-serving, and violently judgmental. A lot's been said lately of being spiritual but not religious, but I think there are a lot of people who, if they were really honest, would say they are neither. And if we in the church would be brutally honest, there are those in our pews who feel that way too. I've known regular churchgoers, those that are in our pews who feel that way too. Those who come to church week after week, who go through all the motions, say all the prayers, receive the sacraments dutifully, but have never had a direct connection to God. Yeah, they experience a connection with those around them, but not necessarily to God. I even had a parishioner ask me once, "Is there something wrong with me?" Early in her life, Mother Teresa had a powerful and immediate experience of God, but she spent the rest of her life looking for that again, and I don't believe she ever found it. I think it's a part of human nature to long for that human, that divine connection. Jacob, by all accounts, was not a religious man. Though he was one of the founders of the Israelites, he is described as a scoundrel. He swindled his brother out of his birthright. He deceived his impaired father, with the abetting of his own mother, by the way, of the blessing intended to be given to the firstborn. This tendency appears to run in the family because when Jacob gets to his uncle Laban, Laban is a match for him, scheme for underhanded scheme. But as Jacob flees the wrath of his brother and the lamentation of his father, he begins to feel the consequences of his actions. Alone, maybe for the first time ever, in the wilderness, Jacob is abandoned. Even though he's traveling toward another branch of his family, the family he has known is now unavailable to him, possibly forever. But for all of this, Jacob does not repent. He does not pray. Instead, he lies down in exhausted sleep. And in that sleep, Jacob dreams. Now, he does not dream of recrimination. He does not dream of God's judgment or punishment. He dreams of a stairway to heaven. Thank you, Led Zeppelin. Whether it's a ladder or an escalator, what Jacob dreams of is connection. Despite all his conniving, his moral failures, his disregard of tradition and family, his dream shows him this continual traffic of divine messengers. And right in the middle of all of this, there sits God's own self with words of promise and hope. "I am with you. I will protect you everywhere you go, and I will bring you back here." Jacob's dream gives him the experience that he is not, in fact, abandoned, but is divinely companioned every step of the way. And Jacob expresses what I also think is a part of the human condition. God, he says, is definitely in this place, but I didn't know it. Our dreams can open to us the companioning of God every step of the way, even when we are not able to name it or experience it. Now, I confess I do not have a moment-to-moment experience of the presence of God. I experience God's presence much more clearly in hindsight than I do in present sight. But when I am in need of some divine companioning, I find it helps to get out of the day-to-day to-do list kind of thinking. Better, it seems, is to find some space to let my mind and heart wander. Like Jacob, figuratively, to lie down in an unknown wilderness and let what dreams may come. Now, I've never seen a staircase or an escalator in my dreams, but what I do often dream of is discovering whole wings of a building I thought I knew. And in that brand new meandering space are often people not at all surprised to see me. I know that in dream interpretation, this means that I continue to discover new aspects of myself. But I also think it shows me new ways and places to discover people who already know and love me. Love and knowledge were there, but I didn't know it. One of my favorite true stories is of a little dying church in a little dying town. It was a particularly sad Sunday morning because the last cafe in their dying little town had closed. It was the habit and practice for the people of the church to go to the cafe for coffee and lunch after Sunday services, and now there was nowhere for them to go. While they stood around feeling more than a little lost, one of the people simply plugged a coffee pot in. At least they had coffee to drink while they stood around. And the next week, a few more people stayed after and had coffee together. And the following week, even more. In fact, that little church stopped dying and started growing. They thought they had been abandoned even by God. But God was just waiting for somebody to put the coffee on. Then they began to dream. They dreamed about what they could do for their little community. They discovered God had been there all along, even though they didn't know it. Now, we are not in the situation of that little church, thank God. But now is the time to dream, to find again our connection with the God who is waiting to be our companion every step of the way. What we don't know in detail is where those steps may take us. But we can know who we are walking with. And that's a dream worth having. When have you experienced being abandoned? When have you been discovered? How can we be better at being reflections of God for those who are looking? And when has God showed up unexpectedly for you? This is Doyle Burbank Williams. Thanks for joining me here at Agents of Providence. I hope you can discover the love of God out in the real world. I hope that maybe somebody can discover that love in you, and hope that you and I can have a little bit of time together here again on Agents of Providence.